This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
How are you this afternoon, Ian? Keeping warm?
Yeah, keeping warm, keeping cozy. How are things over there?
No, all good. It's just going to be just that much colder in the next couple of hours, I think. 48 hours, minus four and plus eight. That's where we're going.
Not looking forward to it. We are definitely not geared for that kind of cold in this country.
Not one little bit. But you've got an interesting story this afternoon. We are all finding ourselves far more dependent on technology these days. What has WhatsApp done to make group calls better in South Africa?
Yeah, this was a cool thing to see. WhatsApp has made it so that you can now join group calls that are already ongoing rather than having to be dialed back in if you missed a call. So for those who haven't tried the feature yet, previously how this would work is your phone would ring during when a group call was initiated. And if you do not pick up, within a certain number of rings, then you don't get to join in unless somebody else from inside the call dials you into the call.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now it works more like Zoom or Skype, where if you've been invited to a group call, you can drop in and drop out as you want to. So it operates a lot more like the voice and video conferencing systems that we've come to, rely on and
be used to. I'm just trying to make that real for me, Jan. So because I'm thinking of the interface, the WhatsApp interface, what do I get? Do I get a link?
So you in the WhatsApp main interface, there's a calls tab. So you'll go to the calls tab and then an ongoing call will have an item in that list. And then you can just tap on the ongoing call and click to join it. It'll have an information pane where you can see who's in the call and who else has been invited to the call. So if you get invited to a family group chat and there's somebody in there that you really don't want to talk to, then you can just rather skip.
Fantastic. All right. That's a handy feature. Tell me about why it's okay that you can queue jump for COVID shots.
Yeah, we've seen people get quite upset about this at the vaccine stations themselves. I've heard reports from my friends saying, they went, for their shot as a walk-in, and there was grumbling amongst people, about queue jumping and blah, 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 blah. But I think that there might be some concerns over vaccine stocks and walk-ins making things slower for people with appointments and putting people who are 50 plus at risk, et cetera, et cetera. And so I thought it would be useful to just debunk some of that. And one of my journalists has done an exceptional job on this article to look at each of those concerns. So firstly, at vaccine sites where we know walk-ins are allowed to happen, we've heard that they tend to have two queues, right? You have queues for people, or more than two queues. You've got queues for people that are coming for their second shot. You've got queues for people who have an appointment, generally people who are 50 plus are given priority over people who are in this new cohort, 35 to 49. And if you have an appointment, then you should be served before walk-ins. That's generally how these vaccine sites work. Yeah. And the health department, in fact, encourages the vaccine sites to have multiple queues like that. So that's the one thing is that, if a walk-in is causing a walk-in, a vaccine seeker is causing any slowdown, it'll maybe cost you 10 minutes at most. Then the issue of vaccine stocks, things in South Africa are actually looking quite good there. And so, where we had a situation where we didn't have enough Pfizer vaccines or Johnson & Johnson vaccines, and it was very limited in its rollout. Now, they've been able to kind of take their foot off the brake a little bit and say, okay, we've got enough vaccines now and not enough nurses to hand them out.
Administer them. Yeah, but that's key. I mean, because you're not taking it away from anybody else.
Yes, yes. And so, especially in the Gauteng area, so the Western Cape in particular has asked people 35 to 49 to rather wait for their SMS. So anybody who might be tuning in from the Western Cape, there, they've specifically asked you to wait, so please wait. Mm-hmm. However, in Gauteng, they have specifically said, please walk in. We've got vaccine sites standing idle in some cases. Now, where I went in Centurion, the vaccine site was quite busy, but apparently Barra today and yesterday was empty. You know, so we have plenty of places with capacity, with stock, and the Gauteng government has invited people 35 to 49 to find a vaccine site that will take them and go for their shot. So do not feel guilty about going for your shot, or you know, if you're worried about taking a shot away from an older, more vulnerable person, don't worry about that. They will get their shot. You won't be taking away a dose from anybody who needs it more than you.
Jan, and the last issue we're going to talk about this afternoon, South Africa's new TV license law published. What's the material changes?
Right. So the big thing is that they're going to establish a ministerial advisory committee. That's probably the biggest change. But I think what's as significant is what's not changed. So there was all this talk about changing the law to have TV licenses apply to laptops, smartphones, anything that can receive a broadcast, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not in the law as it stands right now. Now, obviously, it's still open to public comment, so it can still change. And I hope it's not a Trojan horse where, you know, they'll now receive input and then they go, yeah, based on the input, we've changed it so that it's not just television sets, but these other devices as well. But as written, it is only for television sets, which I found interesting. And secondly, the fact that it still mentions a TV license regime, because there was this talk of having a household levy rather than a TV license regime. And so it looks like as drafted, we're going to stick with the way TV licenses work currently. And then, the other thing that was interesting is that the law appoints the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, ICASA, as the regulator who is going to set the all the stuff around TV licensing. So they will determine, you know, what the TV license fees are, who collects it, and so on, because that's the last open question. Is the SABC has been pushing for private companies, specifically DStv. They actually talk about the dominant pay TV provider, which for now is DStv in South Africa. And they want that dominant pay TV provider to collect TV licenses on its behalf. And MultiChoice has said, no, that's a terrible idea and not our responsibility. It's unfair to push that administrative nightmare down on us. Just have a household levy. And so, yeah, there's still quite a lot of, I think, dialogue and probably fighting coming around this law until there's some kind of certainty amongst everybody involved about what's going to happen. Unfortunately, this law doesn't answer all those open questions, because ICASA can still set regulations that compel the DStv to collect TV licenses on the SABC's behalf, and they definitely don't want that.
I would definitely do that if I was them. Jan van Meulen, editor at mybroadband.co.za. Thank you as always.
My pleasure. Have a great evening.